You're listening to the Deal Farm Podcast with Ken Corsini. Educating, inspiring, and connecting you to real estate deals. And now, your host, Ken Corsini.
Hey, this is Ken Corsini with the Deal Farm. On today's Best Deal Ever episode, I've got Larry Goins. Larry, how you doing?
What's happening?
Man, thanks so much for being on the show. This is a pleasure.
Man, it's going to be awesome. I've been looking forward to it.
So Larry, actually, a lot of you have probably heard of Larry. He's a speaker. He's an author. He's a mentor. He's got a coaching program. He's written books on, you know, how to acquire properties on HUD. You know, funny enough, I mean, even 10 years ago when I got into real estate, I ended up on your mailing list. And so, you know, I've been receiving email from you for the last 10 years, and now we're in the collective genius together. And so it's an honor to have an opportunity to interview you.
That's awesome, man. I really appreciate it.
So I would love to maybe have you take us back to the very beginning. How did you start in real estate before you built up the empire you got now? Where did you get started?
Wow. Well, you know, it's a long time ago. I did my first deal back in the 80s. But, you know, just like everybody else, most people getting into real estate, you know, you're still working a full-time job trying to do real estate on the side and stuff. And it's just very, very difficult to do that. But I finally, you know, after getting enough education and information and mentors and coaches, you know, I was able to become successful and do it. But my very first deal, just to give you an idea, Kim, my very first deal was an FHA, non-qualifying assumable loan.
Oh, wow. So that does go back.
Really? And they stopped doing those in what, like 78 or something?
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Well, I remember Carlton Sheets was one of the first, he was one of the first gurus that I ever listened to that kind of got me interested in real estate. And he taught all these, you know, no down deals. And he always talked about all these assumable mortgages. And I remember, I don't see any assumable mortgages. Where are all these assumable mortgages he's talking about? It's because they were all stopped in the 70s and early 80s, I guess.
I know, right? In fact, it's kind of funny. I have a ton of education and information, home study courses, and I'm looking up at my five bookcases. And I'm looking at the VHS.
There you go.
Down payment, Carlton Sheets system, and cassette tapes.
That shows you a little bit outdated. I mean, the principles are good. Some of the strategies, that they don't necessarily work anymore. That's funny. So your first deal out of the gates, was it a success?
Oh, yeah, yeah. And actually, it was a very creative deal. I had given the guy just a little bit of money, like maybe $500, and took over his loan. And I kept it and rented it out for several years. And then whenever I sold it to somebody that only had a few thousand dollars to put down, but I wanted to make more money on it. So I let them assume the first mortgage, and I carried back a second mortgage and then got the few thousand dollars down. And then I sold that second mortgage at a discount to a passive investor.
Oh my gosh.
And got my money, and that's how I cashed out of the deal.
My goodness, your first deal out of the gate's pretty creative there.
Pretty wild, huh?
And so this is all while you're working a full-time job?
Yeah, yeah.
So fast forward, how many years before you said, man, I love this real estate thing, I'm going to quit my job and start doing this full-time?
Oh, wow. Well, I've done it off and on several times, but I've been doing real estate now since the probably the mid to late 90s, something like that. Mm-hmm. Full time. And I was in the mortgage business for a while, did hard money loans and traditional loans. And yeah, and then started educating people about probably, I don't know, 12 years ago, maybe started teaching people how to do this and wrote a couple of books that are in bookstores everywhere. And in fact, I think we're going to give away a copy of one of my books today on your show.
That's right. Yep. A little bit later in the show, we'll give out that link. You know, it seems like you've really had an opportunity to leverage technology. I mean, has that played a big part in you kind of becoming successful and getting yourself out there? How did that play a role in your real estate career?
Oh, absolutely. You know, back when I was getting started, there was no Craigslist. There was no Realtor.com. You know, if you wanted to look through the MLS, you had to go by the real estate office and get an MLS book.
Oh, my gosh.
And it was like a phone book. You would just flip through and look at the houses. But yeah, technology has really changed a lot. We use a lot of little different kind of apps, and we use, you know, like a little app for our CRM called Podio. We use realtor.com, of course. We use Craigslist to promote our properties and find properties. And we use little apps to keep track of our bandit sign jockeys that go out and put signs for us that say we buy houses, or the signs that say foreclosure, you know, selling our properties. We also owner finance a lot of properties. So, you know, we have people put those signs out as well. And we just really do use technology. But technology is great, but people can get caught up in the whole technology thing and where it ends up running you. You got to make sure that you're in control of the technology. It's not controlling you.
Yeah, absolutely. Some of these young guys come out of the gates and they try to set up all their systems. And yeah, they get a little too concentrated on the systems and forget to do the real estate.
That's so true. So many people get hung up on the, you know, I got to post this, I got to do this, I got to get my SEO up, I got to PPC, I got to do this, that. No, man, get on the phone and call somebody and hammer out a deal.
Absolutely. Yeah, there's definitely a balance there.
Yeah, I'm from the old school. I mean, you know, when in doubt, just get on the phone, you know?
Yep, yep. It's funny how many people, some of our counterparts, even myself, I mean, we're using Podio too. It's such a great tool. It really just came out in the last couple of years, but it's so customizable. And for a CRM, I mean, you could do all sorts of built-ins to it. It's same thing we use. We're having a ton of success with it.
That's awesome. We love it. We have, when people call from our Craigslist ads or our bandit signs, whether we're buying or selling, you know, we have them go to a voicemail message. The voicemail message automatically gets put in Podio, and it creates a task for the either acquisition manager or salesperson to call that person, or, you know, listen to the message and call them back, depending on what number it was it came in on, whether or not it was a buyer lead or a seller lead.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, you got yours really dialed in.
Yeah.
And then even on the sales side, that's really where you guys seem to shine. Don't you have sort of an automated system for, you know, selling the properties you get under contract?
Oh, yeah. We have our properties sold pretty quick. It doesn't really take very long. And it works very, very well. But, you know, there again, you got to have people, whether it's a virtual assistant or somebody in the office to do it, or you have to do it yourself.
Sure, sure. So, you know, you advertise that you've kind of put together a 9-step system for acquiring and analyzing and disposing of real estate. I mean, if you're cool, can we kind of go through it, just maybe break down those 9 steps?
Sure, man. Be glad to.
Okay. So let's talk about, you know, your step one in terms of analyzing a deal. What does that look like?
Well, you know, a lot of people think the first thing you got to do is locate a deal. That's not true. You got to know how to analyze it, because you can have a deal. If you don't know how to analyze it, how do you know if it's a deal?
Right.
So I've got a little calculator. It sits right on your desktop. In fact, it comes with the book as well, that just sits right on your desktop, where you can literally analyze any deal in 2 seconds flat. And you can tell whether it's a no or a go. And you just simply enter in the after repaired value and the amount of repairs, and boom, it'll tell you in a split second how much you can pay for the property.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, it really is. Now, that's on wholesaling. Mm-hmm. If you're wholesaling or if you're doing fix and flips. But we also do some seller financing. We buy a lot of properties for $5,000, $10,000, $20,000, $30,000. And then we will turn around and sell them for, say, if we paid $30,000 for it, we might sell it for $79,900 and get $5,000 or $10,000 down and carry the paper. And then we could turn around and sell that paper.
Mm-hmm.
And, with those properties, we're looking for properties that do not need hardly any work. Maybe they need paint, maybe the carpet cleaned or stretched, or maybe replaced. But for the most part, the house is livable. And then we make offers on those properties. And the cool thing is, now that the market's turning, we could actually pay closer to list price on those and actually make more money than if we were wholesaling.
Interesting. Now, are you trying to get like seller carry back in those situations? Yeah. Or are you just buying them and then just basically turning around doing owner financing for somebody else?
Yeah. I'm buying them for cash.
Okay.
For example, if a person listening to this podcast, if they do not know, if they don't have any money to work with, even though you got a house under contract for $30,000, maybe it was only listed for $35,000. But because it's livable, decent house, decent area, and you know the rents are $600-$700 a month, you could pay $30 for it. And before you get it closed, you have a land contract or a seller finance buyer ready, lined up, and then have that note sold, so you can do it all right at the closing.
Oh, my God.
You don't have to come up with any more money than your deposit.
So you're selling the note, 'cause you, in a lot of cases, you know, people want you to season that note for a little bit, but you're able to sell that note immediately.
Yeah, I show people how to do that. And I also talk about that in my book as well.
Man, that's fantastic. What a great strategy. And those are ones you might find on HUD, or maybe ones that you find as a motivated seller, just wherever you find them, as long as it makes sense, the property makes sense.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Killer. What a great strategy.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Your tool is it's a free tool you have out there people can use to analyze the property?
Yeah. There's a link in the book.
Okay, perfect. Gotcha. Yeah. So step two in your system is to locate the property. How do you guys locate properties?
Well, there's a multitude of ways to find deals, okay? I'm a firm believer I'd rather have 10 ways to find one property than only one way to find 10. We use HUD, is very good. We make hundreds of offers a day on HUD houses. We also use the MLS, realtor.com. We also use Craigslist and Bandit Signs. I have what I call sign jockeys.
Mm-hmm.
And these are guys that I recruited off of Craigslist, and I pay them $1 per sign.
Yep.
Go put out my I Buy Houses signs.
What you mentioned, you have a tool that you use to track the people that put up the bandit signs. I'm curious if it's the same one we had used. Which tool are you using?
Simple Crew.
Simple. You know what's funny? Can I tell you a quick funny story about Simple
Crew? Sure.
So we same thing. Recruited a guy, same price, $1 a sign, and he was rocking and rolling. And you know, we were putting him up on posts like 10 feet up in the air. You know, right, where they couldn't come down easily.
Right.
And he's taking a picture of him. That's the cool thing about Simple Crew is you can take a picture of it and the geocode's exactly where it is. So you can see the picture and then it also puts it on the map for you.
And who put it up and all that stuff.
Who put it up? Exactly. And so, you know, I wasn't really watching that closely. One day I get into Simple Crew and I decide to just kind of scroll through the pictures and see all the different signs. And I'm looking and all of a sudden there's a bunch of, I know this is crazy, naked pictures of this dude's wife.
No.
Yeah, I'm like, what in the world? And sure enough, she got a hold of his phone, I guess this is what happened, and was taking pictures and not realizing that, you know, his app was active and posting to Simple Crew. And sure enough, he must have figured it out because we never heard from him again. I mean, that was it. He probably saw his phone and freaked out. I'm not even sure he paid him for the last so many signs. He just probably switched his phone off. And
he was embarrassed, huh?
He was embarrassed. Wow. So, yeah. That's a note to you. If you ever use Simple Crew, make sure that your app's turned off if you want to take any scandalous pictures.
Probably not near as embarrassed as she was if you told her.
Yeah. If he was smart, he didn't tell her.
That's right. That's right.
Anyway, so let's talk about step number three is to negotiate. So let's say you found the deal. How do you negotiate the deal?
Well, with HUD, there is no negotiating, as you know, because you've done a ton of HUD deals too.
Yep.
And but there is no negotiating, which is pretty cool. But, you know, negotiating, I'm a firm believer if you're going to be a good real estate investor, you need to be a good negotiator. And, you know, the goal on your very first phone call is to get your offer out there and get it out there in a way that gets them to like you and trust you and leave the door open for either them to call you or you to call them back.
That's good.
Yeah. So, you know, you're not trying to buy it on the first phone call, but you're trying to get your offer out there. I mean, if they're asking $50,000 and your offer is $15,000, you can't just say, well, your house is not worth the $15,000. Will you take it?
Yeah.
No,
right.
You got to say, you know, based on what you're telling me about your house and what other similar houses are selling for, you know, it looks like we probably need to be in the low to mid teens, something like that. You know, just based on what other similar houses that you have are going for in the marketplace, which is really what sets the value. Wouldn't you agree?
Absolutely.
You know,
absolutely.
Stuff like that.
Yep. Yeah, we have a girl that does a lot of our negotiating for us. And I think that helps. Girls sort of have a softer edge. I don't know. I feel like they can build rapport and gain a little bit of trust, maybe even better than somebody like me.
And females can also hammer people a lot harder without the person getting mad.
Well, that's like a hammer pillow or something. I mean, you're exactly right. It's just it's hard to get mad at a girl with a nice soft voice, you know?
Exactly.
Okay, so step four, after you've negotiated the deal, let's say you've built their trust and they've agreed on a price, how do you handle the contract?
Well, if I'm buying through a realtor, of course, you use the realtor's contract. A lot of times I even use the same contract the realtors use when dealing with the FSBO is for sale by owner, especially if they're a little squirrely,
mm-hmm.
meaning, you know, if they're like, well, I need to get my attorney to look at this and all that.
Yep.
So I like to use the same one. So that way, if they take it to their attorney, the attorney's going to say, this is the exact same contract form that every realtor in the state uses, you know, and the only thing that they can dispute is the price. And if they happen to come back, in the rare instance when somebody does have their attorney look at it, it's a cash price, it's a quick closing, and the only thing that the attorney can dispute is the price. So if they come back and say, my attorney told me I'm selling my house too cheap. So my first response is, how much did he offer you?
That's right. Yeah. Where's your other offer?
Yeah. How much did he offer you?
Yeah. That's so, let me ask you this. So when you are, you're wholesaling a lot of these properties, do you put in like a due diligence to have an opportunity to turn around and remarket it?
We do. We want to have, we try to get a 15-day inspection period.
Yep.
And we typically close in about 30 days. But if it's a hot deal and we know it, and you know, we know other people are jumping on board, we might speed that up a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, do a 7-day inspection and, you know, 15 or 20 day close.
Yep. We sort of do the same thing. If it's a deal like we know we're gonna buy anyways and probably rehab, then yeah, there's no point in putting a long inspection period. But if we feel like we're going to try to wholesale it, we'll try to get even maybe a 21-day due diligence just to give ourselves more time to market it.
Right.
So step five is to inspect the property. Do you have a system for how you inspect your properties?
Well, yeah, we used to get either a home inspection or several rehab estimates. Sometimes we would get an ARV appraisal. But now what we do is we get probably 20, 30 different pictures. We might get a CMA from an agent, and then we run with it, you know, because we want our buyer to have enough information to make an informed decision, and we want them to be able to do it pretty quick.
So let me ask you this. So how are you, I know different wholesalers have different methods for getting pictures of properties. Do you have somebody on staff, or do you pay somebody like per house to take pictures? What does that look like for you guys?
Well, if it's a listed house, we'll get an agent to go out there and do it.
Okay.
You know, because they're going to do a CMA anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And if not, we've also hired our sign jockeys off of Craigslist to go out there and put out signs in the area, as well as go in the house and take pictures. And here's what they take pictures of. You'll like this. They take pictures of every room, any repair areas like a hole in the wall, a stain on the ceiling, floor unlevel, whatever. Okay, every room, any repair areas, all mechanical items, you know, the heat pump, the hot water heater, the refrigerator, the dishwasher, all that stuff, you know, all four sides of the house and a street view both ways.
That's good.
Yeah.
Are you training those guys, your sign jockeys, for certain things to look for when taking pictures, you know, certain maybe foundation issues that might not jump out? You just sort of have to have a trained eye to see.
Yeah, we got to give them an idea, kind of an overview as to what to look for any cracks, look for any places that are unlevel, you know, anything, you know, that any potential retail buyer is going to see. Because you can't only think as an investor, you know, well, is this acceptable? Is this acceptable? No, you got to be thinking from your buyer's buyer. Like if you're wholesaling the property to a fix and flip investor, you got to be thinking about it from their buyer's point of view. Otherwise, that fix and flip investor is not going to buy any more of them from you.
That's right. Are you trying to put a repair number on it at all? Or do you guys just basically provide the pictures?
We used to, but now we just give a range.
Okay. Yeah.
You know, 15 to 20,000.
Yeah. Well, that makes sense, because your end buyer might put 15 in it. They might put 25 in it. It just depends on their taste in a lot of cases.
And they might do nothing.
That's right. They stick a tenant in there. And then are you paying your agents for the CMA report?
No.
Okay.
And let me tell you how you do that. That's a really, really good question. It's very rare somebody will ask me that question, but that's a great question.
Yeah.
A lot of people think, okay, if I call up a realtor, I'm going to call up and say, hey, I need to get a CMA on a house. Okay, great. You want to meet me out there, because it's going to cost you $125. It'll be cash or check. You know,
right.
But here's what you do. You call up a realtor and say, I got a house I'm going to be fixing up and selling. It's over at 125 Oak Street, and I'm looking for somebody that can help me. Can you help me out? Well, yeah. Okay, great. Can you go out there and take a look at it and tell me what you can sell it for? Now, when they go out on a potential listing appointment, what is part of that? Their procedure. They're going to do a CMA, right?
Mm-hmm.
I've never had an agent charge for a listing appointment.
Hmm.
Now, even though if I'm wholesaling the property, I may not be the one that's doing the fix and flip, but my buyer is going to need a good agent to list that property once they fix it up. So I always try to put my buyer and the agent that did the CMA together to help both of them.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's not going to be every time, but in, you know, on a handful of occasions, I'm sure that they'll hook up and end up getting the listing.
Absolutely.
Interesting. Well, that's good. So, okay, so let's say you've inspected the property, you've got your pictures, you're sort of comfortable with, you know, with where the price is going to come in. What else do you do in terms of due diligence, which would be step number six?
Well, you know, you can get a full appraisal if you wanted to. As I mentioned, we used to do that. We still would do that on like a luxury home or something. You could also get a rehab estimate. If the rehab looks like it's going to be more than $20,000, $25,000, I will pay to have an inspection done. Just because I want to make sure that there's no hidden kind of defects or nothing going on that we need to be aware of. And so those are some additional things. You could also get three rehab estimates if you wanted to. And you know, we're always gonna talk to the agents, talk to other people around. You know, if the property's out of our area, we're gonna call the local RIA group to ask for some, you know, fix and flip investors over there. And that'll not only help sell the property, but some of those guys will tell us about the area and the neighborhood and that sort of thing.
You know, for us too, I'm not sure how relevant it is in South Carolina, but we've been stung once or twice over the last so many years with buying properties in the floodplain accidentally. So that's part of our due diligence now too, making sure the property's not in a, you know, floodplain where you have
Oh,
flood
you got to
insurance.
hear that. That's absolutely, that's a really good point.
So you've done your due diligence and now you decide, okay, I'm going to sell this property. So step seven is what, how do you guys sell your properties?
Well, as soon as we get it under contract, what we do is we start marketing it. We start running ads on Craigslist, and if the property is a HUD property or listed on the MLS, we can't put it on Zillow because Zillow will only allow one listing per address.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And if it's on the MLS, it's already on Zillow. So, but we do put out signs in the area, all around the house, all around the neighborhood, on that side of town, probably about 20 to 30 signs. If we're owner financing the property, the signs will say owner financing and have a phone number. And then we write in with magic marker, like number of bedrooms, number of baths, square footage, if it's on an acre, whatever.
Interesting. Let me ask you this, because you guys do a lot of bandit signs. Do you have any issues with zoning ordinances in your area? People, you know, coming around and telling you to take down your signs?
Yeah. In fact, we do. But the funny thing is they don't ever bother the signs of where you're selling a property. They only bother the signs or call you about the ones that say I buy houses. And I tell my sign jockeys that if we get a call from a sign that you put out, then and we have to go take up the sign, I will also pay you another dollar to go take the sign back up.
Oh, there you go. You know, that I'm not sure if it's the same with you. We found that when you're in incorporated city, they're just a lot tougher. But if you're like an unincorporated county, it's just been a lot easier. We don't get hassled nearly as much. Have you noticed that?
He is more tough than the county, that's for sure.
So we've actually told our guys, hey, just stay out of the cities and just put them up in the unincorporated counties.
Yeah, right outside the city limits,
That's
huh?
right, exactly. Right outside their jurisdiction. Interesting.
Good.
If there we have a fellow guy in CG. You might know Darren Collins. He's in North Carolina.
Oh, yeah. I went down to visit him the other week. We were down looking at some properties in Fayetteville and had lunch with him.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
But
good guy.
he sat beside me at this last CG last week.
Oh, did he really? Really good guy, but he's funny. He's like the king of bandit signs.
Oh, I know, right?
He's told some funny stories about how, I mean, they are after him in Fayetteville. But they just keep putting them up. It's pretty funny. He's been fined, I don't know how many dollars, but it's still worth it to him. I mean, they work so well that he keeps putting them up anyways. Okay, so you've got a ton of marketing out there, lots of signage. You know, you've got some obviously some online places to put them. And then what about automating that process? Step eight would be automation. What does that look like for you guys?
Well, there's a lot of different ways you can automate. When you put somebody in your database, you want to follow up with them with autoresponders. That's the automatic emails that go out. You know, we have literally about 12 months worth of autoresponders that that go out to buyers and potential sellers that just follow up with them. And those are all set up in Podio through our email marketing that kind of links with Podio. And, you know, that's one thing. Email signatures, we use like the Simple Crew app, just different things, little tools to help automate your business. You know, we use Google Docs a lot where our VAs could go in and put numbers on the HUDs. And then we have another VA that goes in and enters the bids on HUDs and just a lot of little different tools. And you can take automation as far as you want to or as little as you want to, you know, but just do it a little bit at a time.
Absolutely. You know, especially you mentioned follow up. That is, we're finding, I mean, that it's so critical to have systems in place for follow up, automated systems, because you're never going to do it if it's not automated. But it's those ones that you're dripping on for 6-7 months that come back to you and end up turning into deals. And so few of your competitors are really doing follow-up well that if you're the guy that's, you know, sort of the squeaky wheel that's staying in front of that potential seller, that those deals come back to you.
Absolutely. The fortune is in the follow-up.
That's right. It really is.
There you go.
So you understand sort of how these programs work. We love to talk about our best deal ever, and you've been at this for a number of years. I mean, you guys, I'm not sure what sort of numbers are you guys turning yearly? I mean, hundreds of houses, I'm assuming.
Yeah, a little over 100.
Okay.
But yeah, I mean, we're moving to a model now where we're doing more seller finance stuff. So we're trying not to sell as much. When I say not sell as much, we're keeping the paper, you know.
Yeah, right.
That's what we want to do. Now, we sell some of it every once in a while. You know, I have people that are interested in earning 10 to 15% return, passive income.
Yep.
But yeah, so we're kind of moving to a model where we're doing less wholesale and more seller finance deals.
Gotcha. So, you know, I haven't been at this for, you know, over 12 years or however long, doing 100 deals a year. You've looked at a lot of deals. You've been involved in a lot of deals. Is there one deal or maybe two deals in particular that stand out to you as like one of your best deal ever?
Well, as far as a wholesale deal, I did a deal down in Pensacola, Florida from an individual. We bought it for $700,000. We put up a $500 deposit and we assigned the contract for $775,000. And that was a pretty good size wholesale deal. We did another one up here in Charlotte at a place called Ballantyne Country Club. And we paid, it had fire damage. It was like a $1.8 million house, but it had like $1 million worth of fire damage. So we paid $395 for it and assigned the contract on that one for $450.
Wow, nice.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. And as far as on the other end, like with the seller finance deals, I had, we had a deal a while back that we were going to wholesale to a hedge fund.
Mm-hmm.
And we were in the property at about $50,000. And the hedge fund, I mean, we went in, we did a little bit of carpet and paint, fixed it up. So we were in it at about 50. So we found out it had a crack in the foundation and somehow it slipped by us. Well, the hedge fund quit buying, and now all of a sudden we couldn't sell it because of the crack in the foundation.
Mm-hmm.
Even though it was like an $80,000 or $90,000 house, the foundation crack prevented any retail buyer from going out and getting a mortgage on it and getting a home inspection and being able to buy it. So just to give you an idea of how powerful seller financing is, we had it listed on the MLS for literally $45,000, and we couldn't sell it.
Oh, wow.
So I took it off the MLS. I put signs all around the neighborhood that said owner financing. I put it on Craigslist. I raised the price to $89,900. I got $15,000 down.
Oh, my gosh.
And I financed $75,000. So I had a $75,000 loan and plus the $15,000 down. And then I sold the $75,000 loan for $60,000. So I had the $60,000 plus the $15,000. I netted $75,000 on a house that I could not sell for $45,000.
Oh my gosh, that's amazing.
Yeah, and that's just the power of seller financing and selling those notes. And the other thing is, I recently did a deal where we bought a house, a double wide, and I love double wides. We bought a double wide. It was like a 2,000 square foot, four bedroom, three bath. It was up in Wilkesboro, North Carolina, I believe. And we paid $10,450 because it needed paint and carpet and had a couple holes in the wall. But the ARV was in the 80s to 90s. So we bought it for $14,450. We sold it with seller financing for $75,000.
Oh my gosh.
We got $5,000 down. So now I only have $10,000 in the whole deal, and I have a $70,000 note. I sold that $70,000 note for $40,000. So I made $30,000 on a house that I did not touch. And I didn't rehab it. I didn't have to wholesale it. I made about three times as much as I would normally make on a wholesale house. That's why I love seller financing.
Oh my gosh. Well, you get that money down. I mean, it's better than even a lease purchase because it's rare that you're going to get that kind of money down.
That's right.
And you're selling the, you have the ability because there's a whole market for people that want that paper
That's right.
that you can sell to. And so, and I guess the other side of this, if you wanted to hold it for an extra year or two, you could have probably sold the paper for more if it's seasoned. But just to get out quick and make a quick buck and move on to the next deal, I mean, you can discount that note and there's still a market for that, I suppose.
That's absolutely right. That's absolutely right. Not only that, but it being a 15-year note, I could have sold 5 years worth of the note, and then
Oh,
at the end
wow.
of 5 years, sell the other five, and then at the end of that five, sell the other five if I wanted to.
Yeah, now you're talking like Eddie Speed.
Yeah, exactly.
Eddie's got all sorts of strategies for selling part of a note here and there.
There
So
you go.
is there, is, let me ask you this, because a lot of people are going to say, okay, well, if let's say I created a note, where do I go about selling my paper? Is there a marketplace that you go to sell your notes?
Oh, there's a lot of places. There's loanmls.com. You can sell them on eBay. You can sell them on Craigslist. The best place is to go to your local REIA group and talk to landlords. They want passive cash flow.
Yeah, absolutely. Interesting. What's the Loan MLS? That's a great place to check out. And Craig, you're right. Craigslist is, I mean, a marketplace for anything. I'm sure you could put a note up on Craigslist and get some generate some interest as well.
And there's a section on eBay, on the real estate section of eBay under real estate other.
Really? Interesting. I got to check that out. Well, Larry, this has been awesome. And these the 9 steps we went through, super helpful. I mean, just some really good system stuff for people that are getting started in real estate. Let's talk for a second about the free HUD book that you've put together.
Oh yeah. Well, this is a book that it's available wherever books are sold, and I mean you could go out and buy it, but on your podcast we're going to give away a free copy of it, and it's called HUD Homes Half Off: How to Buy a HUD House at 50, 40, even 30% of list price, and then what to do with that HUD house to make money.
And I'll tell you, I can attest to the fact I've made a ton of money off of HUD houses over the last so many years, but literally hundreds of them. And so buying HUDs absolutely does work. And Larry's still, I mean, living proof, they're still buying a ton of HUD homes. So we have a link where folks can download this book for free. We're going to put it up on our show notes on Deal Farm. The link is going to be freehudbook.com/dealfarm. Again, folks, freehudbook.com/dealfarm. And Larry's going to give you that book free. And Larry, man, thanks so much for being on the show. This has been tremendous.
Man, I really appreciate you having me. It's been a lot of fun, and I hope your listeners got a lot out of it.
Absolutely. We'll talk to you soon. Take care.
Sounds good. Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
Hey, Deal Farm podcast listeners, this is Ken Corsini with a special offer. If you go to our website right now, dealfarm.net, you have the ability to download our new blueprint. It's called 30 Days to 10K. It's basically the exact blueprint you need to start profiting from wholesaling real estate right now. It's the resources, it's the websites, it's the services that we use. I've even included my exact postcard that I send out. Basically, everything you need to start getting deals in the next 30 days. Again, it's at our website, dealfarm.net. Check it out. You can download it for free. Also, we still have our free t-shirt offer. If you want a free Deal Farm podcast t-shirt, just subscribe through iTunes to our podcast and give us a 5-star rating, and then go through our website, contact us, give us your name address, and t-shirt size, and we will send you a t-shirt in the mail immediately. As always, thanks so much for listening to The Deal Farm. We'll see you on the next episode. Take care.